future.
You've got to come back with me.
Where?
Back to the future.
Are we back?
We're back.
What do you mean we're in the future?
October 21st, 2015.
Marty, we're going to be able to see our wedding.
Wow. The future. I gotta check this out, Doc.
Look what happened to your son.
He's a complete wimp.
Don't talk to anyone.
You've been looking.
Hey, look.
Don't touch anything.
I need to borrow your hoverboard.
And try not to look at anything.
I didn't invent the time machine to win at gambling.
I can't lose.
I invented a time machine to travel through time.
Hey, Doc, I'm all for that. What's wrong with making a few bucks on the side?
Now, the time continuum has been disrupted, creating an alternate 1985.
There have been a few changes.
It's like we're in hell or something.
No, it's Hill Valley, although I can't imagine hell being much worse.
But they'll all be back.
Eat less, slackers!
Biff?
Hello? Hello, anybody home?
Why can't it be you? You're so big.
Michael J. Fox. Christopher Lloyd. Michael J. Fox.
More like a couple of teenagers, you know?
And Michael J. Fox.
Mom, is that you?
Steven Spielberg presents a Robert Zemeckis film, Back to the Future.
Gotta get back in time.
Part 2. Coming November 22nd to theaters everywhere.
Come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
And welcome back, ladies and germs, to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. Every Saturday night it happens. We sit around, watch a movie picked by one of us, and then we talk about it for your edification and enjoyment. My name is Colin. I'm your host. I'm surrounded by the internet radio superstar,
Travis.
Brent.
Hooray. And
that's it.
Hello?
That's
we got rid of all. We cut the fat. That's not. No. We love all our guests and our.
Where's that edit button at?
Fuck them. They need to hear that. They fucking shit out on us. So tonight it's us three, and what did we watch? Whose pick was it?
It was Brent's pick.
Brent is back.
This week we watched Back to the Future Part 2.
Great.
From the year
1989.
Directed by
Robert Zemeckis.
So this is a kind of a special episode, I guess, for the Saturday Night Freak Show, seeing as how this whole podcast was Brent's idea, I think, you know, and in 2012, you can go back through the archive, the very first episode that we did was Back to the Future, and I suspect, Brent, that we're going to be doing Back to the Future Part 3 at some point in the future.
No! Your suspicions are correct, Colin. Jeez. Yes.
I hope we can find a gateway into a different space-time continuum.
Travis apparently doesn't like Back to the Future.
What gave you that?
Well,
I like the concept of a Part 3.
Travis might just be busy that day.
Maybe. Oh, I don't know. I always got to stick around to, like, give my pot shots when dessert, you know. You got to make sure you got to be around for the good and the bad and the ugly.
Right, exactly.
That's true.
Well, so, this is kind of, I'm assuming that you picked this because it has special relevance this year that we're recording this.
Yes, it's 2015. Which spoiler means alert. Which means that Back to the Future Part 2 has finally come into fruition.
Because
obviously that's the year. I don't think we're up to the month yet. I think it's in October.
October.
Yeah. But I wanted it to be my first pick in 2015 because my first pick for the podcast was Back to the Future Part 1. And if you go online and any sort of geek universe, you're going to be hearing about Back to the Future
it's
Part 2.
It's all over. Nike's going to make those fucking shoes.
Yeah.
Mattel's going to make the hoverboard.
And they already have a hoverboard. Have you seen videos of that thing? Like,
oh, yeah. It's
not very mobile.
it's not the Barbie one, though, right?
I mean, no.
People want the Barbie one.
Yeah.
All the 40-year-old males want the Barbie one, that Marty McFly.
You can buy a replica. I don't think it'll hover, but...
Yeah. Well, it's significant, I mean, the date, because, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier that, you know, science fiction movies have made predictions of what the future is going to be like, you know, for, I don't know, when they started doing this, I can't even, you know, but, you know, Metropolis, I guess. I don't know if they gave it a specific date, but this is a movie series like where they gave it a specific date of what the future was going to be like at this time. You know, like August, what was it, 29th, 1999?
That's Judgment Day.
It was supposed to be Judgment Day, according to Terminator.
Terminators, yeah.
I think we're still waiting for 2019. That'll be Blade Runner.
That's right. Yeah, right.
We missed Escape from New York, 97, Escape from L.A., 2013.
Right.
So we're in 2015. The future is here. When was Minority Report? Anyone?
Shh. 2034, I don't know.
I think 2020s. I don't know. I'm making that up.
That was like 97.
RoboCop, I think they made a conscious decision not to mention a year. That way it was, hey, whatever, you know.
That's smart.
Yeah, it is pretty smart.
Yeah, because otherwise then you get guys like us sitting around in 2015 going like, all right, so how much of this shit did you actually get right? So since the first part of this movie takes place in 2015, right, is it cool if we talk a little bit about the future predictions of Back to the Future Part 2?
Do we want to just talk about the opening of the movie first, and then once we get to 2015
or
whatever, that way we can...
Yeah, in order.
Yeah, so the opening of the movie starts with the opening of the last movie, right?
Where it starts with the end.
Yeah, that's what I meant. And but we got Elizabeth Shue now instead of the what's-her-name. Who's her what's-it?
Chelsea...
Yeah.
All right. So, Jennifer. Okay. So Brent.
The old Jennifer.
So, the Back to the Future series is Brent's favorite movies of all time.
That is correct.
So, you're going to be our
I'd say it's his favorite thing. favorite thing of all time. Not movie. Favorite thing.
Well, it's both. Yeah.
All right. So, why didn't, because the two most notable absences from this movie are Crispin Glover as George McFly.
Right.
Did not choose to return for these movies. I made the biggest mistake of his life. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the story behind that is Glover wanted as much money or more than Michael J. Fox was getting, plus all these like outlandish things in his contract that basically the producers were just like, you know, we're not going to do this because we can write you out of the film.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what they did.
Isn't that one of those negotiating things? Like, if I really don't want to do it, then I make crazy demands. So they just go, like, I can't do it. Then it's their fault, not yours.
Maybe. Yeah.
I thought he was just, I always took it as, I mean, he just knew, hey, they want to make a sequel. They can't make a sequel without me. You know, I just thought he was just being, you know, I thought his star, he thought, you know, because I mean, fuck, before this, what, Friday 13th?
River's Edge, I think.
I mean, right. But then, boom, big summer fucking blockbuster. He's like, you can't make a sequel without me. And they're like, oh, yeah? that's what I took it as.
But they had problems with him in the first film, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because his idea for George McFly at the end of the film, he thought that George should be like this, you know, like almost rock star type character after, you know, he gained his confidence and everything. And it was like these weird choices he was making with the character that the filmmakers didn't want to do at all. Yeah. You know, obviously...
He wanted George to be the main character at the end of the movie.
Probably, but...
Even though he kind of is the main character of the first movie, in a weird way.
Yeah.
I have to get this guy hooked up with my mom.
It's definitely, it's definitely George's story in the first one, which is understandable, but, like, to have him turn out to be, like, this crazy rock star type guy...
Basically Marty's character.
Well, what he wanted, yeah. But that would be, like, Marty's, I don't know, that you know, like... would be Marty's arc.
Yeah.
If Marty were that character. But, and in a certain space-time universe, that could probably happen, but...
Well, he must have at some point, like, reconciled with Robert Zemeckis because he was in Beowulf.
Right.
He was Grendel in Beowulf, so they must have passed.
We need a weirdo. Like,
yeah. But I mean, to go back to him and go, like, okay, no hard feeling. I mean, you know, that kind of...
Well, Charlie's Angels, like, really...
But was that Zemeckis?
No, I just thought Charlie's Angels just brought Crispin Glover back. Like, you know, I mean, you had kids talking about that weird guy. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Willard?
Yeah,
was
Willard.
I don't know if Willard was before or after Charlie's Angels.
I really can't recall.
Sure. So what happened to Jennifer? Just like... Yeah. This chick's bland and this chick's Elizabeth Shue.
Well, no, from what I understand, the role was obviously offered to the original Jennifer, but I think her mom died or was passing away at the time, and she just got out of the business
completely. Oh, crazy.
But now, like, if you go online or look at her Facebook, everything is like she is one of those washed up actors that, you know, is at the conventions just preying off of the Back to the Future.
$15.
Yeah.
$20 picture. That's the dream.
And I know, right? Yeah.
She'll always be like the Jennifer in my book. Because, I mean, Elizabeth, I'm not saying anything bad about Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah, dude. She's, man. She's Karate Kid, fucking Marty McFly. Elizabeth Shue is everybody's boyfriend in the 80s. She was your boyfriend. Or your girlfriend. Yeah. Everybody was
Adventures
in
Babysitting. Right?
Adventures in Babysitting. Yeah. Oh, my God. Elizabeth Shue. Yes.
But, yeah, so.
I mean, I've never been a big Elizabeth Shue fan. I think that is a little bit of, you know, when I watch these movies, I wish the original Jennifer was in there, but
yeah. The original Jennifer's smoking hot.
Yeah, that too.
She was. I think she still is.
I don't know.
Elizabeth Shue has aged well, I say. I saw her in that movie with Jennifer.
Or Piranha?
Lawrence. Yeah, or Piranha.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I mean, obviously in the 80s, though, Elizabeth Shue is your go-to girl, like Travis is saying.
Yeah, so dude.
That's obviously the next choice. But it is funny if you watch the end of one and the beginning of two back-to-back, and the acting, it almost feels like, because they recreate that whole scene, obviously, because they don't have the original Jennifer, and it feels like the acting is almost in slow motion. Like, if you watch them back-to-back, like, there is... Like, the reactions are slower. It's not slow motion, but, like, the reactions are...
Whose reactions are slower?
Like, the reactions of Marty and Jennifer to Doc and everything Doc's saying and, like, you know, the, what do we turn out to be a couple of assholes? Like, all that stuff.
Slower in that? Does it time out the same? I wonder if you're to, like...
Maybe.
You know, I'm like, are the edits on...
But in part two, it's slower just because, I mean, you're in this movie where this is the, you know, in the end of the first one... They're like, Marty, you gotta come back. Marty, there's a problem. We gotta go back to the future.
It's delayed a little, yeah. It feels a little off. And obviously they can't get it, you know, exactly the same as
I always thought that was a great line. Well, are we a couple of assholes? That's so funny.
It is. It's great.
Well, it's especially interesting to see, like, how much, you know, they recreate, you know, the first movie. Like, you know, because they had to...
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm guessing that the original intention was they would just take the ending, you know, of the first one... And, you know, add a scene or two to it, but because like nobody showed up, or, you know, except for Marty and Doc, they recast Elizabeth Shue, had to go reshoot and restage, you know. But then I suppose what comes later in the movie, that's like, you know, that's like the preamble to like the big scale, like,
even
recreating
Marty's like wave to his parents. Was that the new George or was that Crispin Glover?
No, that was the footage from the
original. Was that?
Yeah, because early on also there's a shot of George and Lorraine inside the house, and that's the old footage too.
Yeah,
that they use. But we should say also that Back to the Future Part 2 and Part 3 were never supposed to be made. The end of Part 1 was supposed to be a joke, just it's the 80s. Let's give them something fun at the end. It's, you know,
your and kids. Then, something's got to be done about your kids,
right? And then like the enormous success of the first, and they're like, "Well, shit, we're making these movies with or without the original filmmakers." So that's the two Bobs, Bob Zemeckis and Bob Gale, are the two that wrote the original one, and they were like, "Well, if they're gonna make it anyways, why don't we write it and direct it and make it good?" Which is brilliant because. Right. You know, the studio is going to do it no matter what.
Well, it gives them a problem, though, because now they're stuck with this, like, joke of an ending. And now we're like, well, what's our movie going to be about? Well, somehow we still have to tie up, you know, this thing that we promised to the audiences and didn't mean it at the time. Right. So now we got to do something about Marty's kids.
Which is, to me, like, the dumbest fucking thing. Like, I can see why after the scene, he's like, we have to destroy this. Because Doc Brown's the most irresponsible man in time traveling. Like, he is the irresponsible. He's, like, fucking going around just dicking with shit that don't need to be messed with. It's like, dude, like, go tell Marty his kid's going to get arrested so he can, like, ground him that day. And not, like, why does he have to go get Marty from the past?
Well, I have an answer to this. It's because maybe not specific that moment, but he can't just go up and tell Marty. You know, Marty, you have to, whenever somebody calls you a chicken, you just got to turn the other way because his life gets ruined.
No, he has to tell him his kid is going to make an agreement with Griff, Biff's fucking grandson.
But he could have fixed that. By fixing somehow Marty, if Marty never got in the accident, which we don't see, but that's the thing that changed his course of life and made it, you know, so now his kids are pieces of shit, and, you know, his life.
Not till the third one, spoiler alert. At the end of the third one, you see what would have been the accident.
Oh, shit, that's right. Oh, yeah. I forgot about
that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's too far away. Yeah, I almost didn't even, like, think about that. But, yeah,
that's the thing, the lesson that Marty needs to learn. So, like, this whole thing with his kid is like a Band-Aid on the bigger problem, you know, right?
Yeah.
And he has to learn.
I'm just saying, in Doc's point of view, and just in the... I mean, if you just want to think of storytelling, it just doesn't like, that's fucking irresponsible. They're like, you gotta come back, you know, you gotta pretend to be your kid and say no to this guy. And like, it's like, what? This is fucking convoluted. You know? It takes place in the future. You've got 20 fucking years to fix that one moment, that one day. 20 fucking years. Yeah. There's no reason to actually go to the future to fix that day. That makes no sense.
If you don't do it, then you don't have an adventure movie.
Well, you have an adventure movie because Marty automatically is like, oh, cool, a fucking, like, antique store or whatever, and fucking goes get the Gray's Almanac. But
how do you get him to the future?
Well, you could have always done the Griff mistaking him for Marty Jr., you know? And then Griff, I'm like, what the hell is going on here, you know? You could have always done that. That's what I'm saying. You don't need the your kid's going to get arrested. He could have always been mistaken for Marty McFly Jr. and then heard about how his old man's a loser and shit. And, like, everything could be the same. You could almost edit this out. I wouldn't fucking remember.
But what what is the catalyst for getting Marty in the time machine again with Jennifer?
But you're already fucked there.
You're just already there.
From a story writing standpoint, they already ended the first movie with something's got to be done with your kids in the future.
Yeah.
So we know we're going to the future. We know it's got to be within your lifetime. And there's got to be something going on with your kids that has to be dealt with.
They should have known that. They should have known in the first one that it's like nothing has to be done about your kids before you have kids. Like, I mean, it's just like they should have just not put that light in there.
Yeah.
Like, just set a reminder or something. Yeah. We'll deal with it. And also in the future, is Doc 30 years from now? I mean, is he still around?
We don't know that. In 2015, we don't know if that Doc is alive at all.
Did he just take off out of the timeline?
I mean,
that was it. He just disappeared in 1985 and we never seen
saw
again.
Him again.
Yeah, shit. Holy fuck. Yeah, I guess, right? Yeah, fuck. Yeah.
And he just jumps around in time, I guess.
Yeah, who knows
whatever.
What he's doing? Wow.
Sorry, so they go to 2015, and this is the experience of watching this movie tonight in 2015, is like it is like a time capsule from the 80s. That they made for us to watch now. And you're like, it's weird. It's like the future as seen from 1985.
Yeah.
And now you see how far off they were on there. You know, I mean, a lot of their predictions are obviously for jokes.
Right.
People wear two tie, you know, like he's got the tie.
Yeah. The clear tie. Yeah. I like the Doc has it's like a silk trench coat. You know, it's like a silk robe trench coat. I fucking love that.
Yeah. You mentioned the transparent tie, right?
The transparent tie.
They've got the self-adjusting coats and that blow-dry themselves.
Everybody thought I like the cool silver fucking shade.
That was the future, right? From the 80s in the future. Yeah.
Well, I can only reiterate what Zemeckis said, but he said that you could do future two ways. You can do like a post-apocalyptic future and get it right, probably. Or you can do a future that's all jokes.
Post-apocalyptic or just dystopian? Like, where everything's gone to shit and it's worse than it is now.
Yeah, dystopian, I guess, probably. Yeah. I mean...
Or the funny one, right?
Or the jokes, yeah. Like, in this future, you see, like, the last Starfighter vehicle, which came out in, what, 84?
84.
Yeah. And it's strangely looks a lot like the DeLorean. It's got the gull wings. It's like, stainless steel. It's...
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah. I never knew that was back there.
Yeah.
Well, I only saw it, because Brent was pointing it out this time around.
And I think there's a Blade Runner vehicle, but I didn't see it.
But what I thought was funny about 2015, it's like it was all advertising. Just like, you know, I guess Blade Runner.
Yeah, Blade Runner was the first one. I think they gave you that vision of like, Blade Runner was the first future you know, prediction movie. I mean, because before that, you had like Logan's Run or what was like another fantasy?
It was really fantasy.
Yeah.
High fantasy. People lived in domes and like wars, unicolor fucking like silver suits and shit.
It was the Star Trek future, right?
Yeah. It was just the weird, like, everything's aluminum foil. So everything's got to be silver and sparkly. It's like once you get to that point, that's space material.
And, you know. And then when and that was like the future of the 1970s when you think about it. I mean, like all their movies seem to have that. And then Blade Runner came along, gave you like the this is what like the dingy, noisy, the overcrowded, you know, smog, rainy, you know, advertising.
We'll build skyscrapers so high that we'll just start like making vehicles or making like roads and railways that exist in this like way higher world, like.
Yeah. Well, that comes from like the 20s. Or
well, that's kind of Metropolis a little bit, you know,
Yeah. No, but I mean, but that comes from like World's Fair, kind of like the, you know.
Yeah, those for sure.
Predictions that they had back in the
fucking
20s.
Fucking Jetsons, right? Jetsons.
Yeah, right.
You had these floating fucking, you know.
So
I guess it's always been like cloud cities.
It's called like Ray Gun Gothic, but it
Ray Gun Gothic.
Something, yeah, I don't know. But so the future of back to
the future. Pepsi Perfect and Texaco, and they got drones and shit, right? They got like AT&T is a sponsor, so they still want you to think there's going to be phone lines.
They got AT&T, they got Nike, they got Pepsi, they've got
everybody.
Texaco, they've got.
You see what a special effects
Western
was,
Union.
It's great.
But they didn't see the internet and they didn't see the mobile phone or the smartphone.
Yeah,
which not, Star Trek or, saw or with video, the goddamn
those two kids in Cafe 80 said they're like it's a video game like video games don't exist in the future. Isn't that weird?
They exist, you just don't touch them with your hands.
Yeah,
well, so no, it's more just, like
the Kinect, right?
Yeah,
I mean, we kind of have that.
All right, we've got video phones, we've got Skype and all that.
Yeah,
we've got the. Do we have the pizza that you can?
We don't. Yeah, the hydrating pizza.
Rehydrating.
Well, I don't know, guy. I mean, because these guys. I mean. I don't know what's actually out there. We don't know.
Well, yeah. We're living in an age where tomorrow we might have some of this stuff.
Yeah, well, I want to say, well, odds are government might have a lot of this stuff because we're always like 50 years behind them. Because, for fuck's sake, we got printers right now. Printers. You know, I mean, there's a lot of shit out there that we just don't know about. You know, printers that print food and guns.
Yeah, I saw somebody ate a 3D printed pizza.
Yeah, dude.
But that goes back to Star Trek.
That's Star Trek. That's the replicator.
Yeah.
You know?
So Star Trek saw the mobile phone and the replicator.
They just thought these guys are going like, oh, you'll have something little and it'll expand. You know, once you hydrate it, it will expand.
Yeah, because
good idea.
Like Colin said, it
is space food.
It is that time or time capsule because also they have the like the Princess Di stuff, the Michael Jackson stuff, which I guess it's a Cafe 80s, so you would have that stuff still. But yeah. I mean, given our real history, it's like some of that stuff like, whoa, they were way off. Like there's no, you know.
You try to imagine like a younger person watching this movie now, like trying to watch these is like, you know, their dad showing them like these are classic fucking. And seeing that Cafe 80s, like I was looking at it, I'm like, you know, to me, the stuff that was like, you know, it was the Max Headroom. Like nobody knows who the fuck Max Headroom is unless you lived through that.
And
and I mean, you'd know maybe that was Ronald Reagan. I don't know.
Yeah.
Would you know like Khomeini? Probably not. Or like what was going on there? Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, but Michael Jackson, I think you'd still know that was supposed to be Michael Jackson.
Yeah. But also what's strange is like, I think we still have like Jaws, 50s style diners and Cafe 50s.
I was going to say, that's the one fucking thing they got right is our goddamn nostalgia of the 80s.
But well, do we have like 80s style diners?
Well, no, not diners necessarily. No.
Yeah,
but like, look at the way, 50s but thing. It's become very like quote unquote punk. To wear those fucking like neon greens and pinks and yellows. It's kind of fucking mall punkish. I'm not going to say it's punk. It's fucking Hot Topic mall punkish to like dress like the fucking 80s, you know? So maybe they got our 80s.
Well, we can start something. This is the year we start wearing our fucking pockets inside out.
That's why I want to start saying we can start our, and the Griff gang, are all I like how, they're in the year 2015, but they're dressed the way all the movies that were like class of 1984, class of 1999, you know, they're dressed in that very fucking, I don't even know what you would call it, a neo-punk.
Yeah.
Fucking neo.
Yeah.
crazy yeah, but that, ass but fucking that, but spikes that movie and punk shit.
Was always like, it seemed to me in the '80s, like that was them. Like, this is like futuristic,
the futuristic. Yeah. Which I believe it. I mean, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for the Mad Max fucking, like, you take a leather jacket, you take half a fucking football shoulder pad, you put one on here, you know, yeah. you gotta, you fucking put some leather. There's gotta be a leopard stripe, you know. Someone has to have leopard stripe in your group. Yeah. Just somebody. I don't care what piece of clothing it is.
Yeah.
Well, I always like the idea in, like, in movies that look toward the future that always seem to get something. They get, there's something of an idea that they get right, is that, you know, I think, you know, you can make the error where you go, like, it's the future, so everybody's wearing fucking jumpsuits, right? Yeah. Because everybody wears future clothes, and there's nothing of the past there at all.
It's what's all the just communist? All it's the future, like, start. Communist idea. The one legion mind, you well, know.
And they're going for, like, everything state-of-the-art and brand new. So there's no remnants of the old world there at all. But, like, you know, something like Blade Runner, Back to the Future, or, like, Minority Report. I remember Minority Report, you know, there's all these, you know, ships and stuff flying around. And they go to, like, this brownstone, you know, neighborhood that's like, oh, those houses have been there since, like, 1940s or something like yeah. that. You know, it's like they got that. There's always that echo of the past.
Right.
Blade Runner, I like the idea that, like, in their fashions, you know, they went back to, like, so it was in the 80s, supposed to be 2019 or whatever. But they're wearing fashions of the 1920s. Like, the big hats have come back, you know, yeah. and the veils and stuff like that. Everybody smoke, you know, it's like they're all, they look like they're out of the 1920s.
It's like that noir.
Yeah, just to keep it that noir detective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was kind of cool, that all these things that are cyclical, you know, like eventually bell bottoms will at some point come back into style, you know. We can always hope that the fedora will come back into style, but
right.
Yeah. So fucking huge mistake by Doc Brown number two in this movie is, let's fucking ditch Jennifer in this fucking alley while we go run around in the future, and we'll just trust she'll be okay, because fuck it. Yeah, I just don't get his logic.
This gives us...
She could have been in the back seat of the fucking... Like, right, she could have yeah. keep her in the
there
car.
There is no back seat.
Well, still, the passengers... I'm just so...
Yeah, they're not in the fucking car.
He's yeah. not in the car. It's like, yeah, yeah. She could have been in the car all safe, sitting in the fucking alleyway, be gang raped by Griff's fucking, like, punk squad.
Yeah, but it's a nice future. Griff is he's still the anomaly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does seem, yeah, like a bit of a utopia other yeah. than Griff running around.
Right.
And even
Griff is,
he's
like,
not that bad.
You know, yeah.
He's got a big baseball bat that telescopes out. That's
yeah. He's also got, like, what you're supposed to imagine are cybernetic, like, shin extensions, right?
Yeah.
He, like, yeah. raises up. That's all that. When I was a kid, that real, like, my mind fucking, like, just went off on that. It's like, oh my God, what
you does know, he have?
Cybernetic fucking shin extensions.
Yeah.
He can grow taller.
I always thought, like, an exoskeleton, like some sort of mechanical thing that would, like, raise his posture up. You know, it would be something that was like had a purpose as well. You know, like, I don't know.
Oh yeah, I can see what you're talking about. You're talking about, like, some sort of a yeah.
Yeah. Like an apparatus that he had to wear. Yeah, yeah.
You know, right. Something that would actually help him. But it's all cybernetics. They say cybernetics are all... I love his introduction.
They didn't have cybernetics, so it was still bionic in the movie. Like, it's bionic implants. Like, oh, that's right, it's the 80s.
Yeah.
I don't think cyber was... Well, no.
What was cyborg?
Fucking true. Yeah.
1984. Yeah, they're just whatever. Yeah. I mean, maybe it's just not, you know...
I don't know. That stuff doesn't bother me at all, because it's like, you know.
No,
like,
I thought
Jennifer,
it was funny.
You know, in the alley.
Because
it's
he's got problems with his bionic implants.
No,
that's why he's so crazy.
The leaving Jennifer, the alley. It's like, okay. It's like we've got a little bit of adventure where, you know, Marty gets into a recreation of his, you know, the 1955 run around the square in Hill Valley. He gets the square.
The fucking
and then we have to go back skateboard. And see what his home life is like. So Jennifer, you know, ends up being the catalyst for them having to go back there. So, I mean, it's just, I see it from, like, a narrative standpoint, because I want to see what the home life is like. And if this is the way that I get there, I was cool with it. I mean, I think it checks out logically well enough that it's like, you know, you just kind of go with it for the ride. Because what I want is to see, well, what is Marty like in 2015?
Right.
You know, and how else are we going to get there?
And also, Travis, the most logical answer is, for Jennifer, the reason why she's dead weight throughout the film is because
she was not supposed to be in the film.
She wasn't supposed to be there. If they could go back in time and the filmmakers could take her out of that goddamn time machine before they went to the future, yeah, they would have, because that, yeah. Yeah. Like, what do you do with her? And I think, like what Colin's saying, they did the best with what they could, because she is the reason to go to the house and see this whole future, which is cool. Like, you talk about Blade Runner, and like, what was the other one about, you know, how like the echo of the past with Minority Report. Like, when you go into Marty's house in the future, like, all the furniture is could be from, you know, the 80s or the 90s, possibly. It's like an antique dining room table.
He's got the TV wall or whatever.
But, like, the couch, the, a lot of the stuff. When you get inside,
I've always thought his house is very unfucking. Well, because they do live in a shitty neighborhood, really.
Right.
He thinks it's all, that's the statement I like about this. When he gets there, he's like, all right, I live in, like, whatever, which Hilldale. Is, like, the nice... Yeah. Neighborhood of the 80s,
yeah,
but the future, that's the fucking shitty neighborhood. I think that's really funny,
which is very true to real life.
And that, yeah, like, I've always thought Marty's house, it was just one of those things where it's like you're watching the movie, like, I've always, you know, I'm like, I mean, I fucking love this movie through and through, but I was always underwhelmed by being in his house. Always very fucking underwhelmed. Because that, you were in this big square of all this shiny, cool shit, whatever. Then, yeah, and then you go to, like, what is almost like the 2015, like, Roseanne house or something like that is really what it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, what would you want? I mean, something.
No, it's just, you know, it's just a thing. You know, it's just one of those things. Because, I mean, you're in a very enclosed space. You know, Jennifer's like moving around, sneaking around, trying not to be seen. So you kind of barely see it, but you see it, and you're not that impressed. And it's just like,
well, the only takeaways that I have are there's you know, thumbprint scanners on the doors. There's fruit, the impractical fruit dish that comes out of the center of the, like that. I'm like, where does that go?
Like, is that refrigerated in the
like in the attic? I don't know. It's like you have to add on to your house to install this fucking thing. You got the
TV I would actually wall. Say that's kind of actually. Got the fax machines
everywhere.
I'd actually say that is actually. Because, I mean, we were just watching the documentary about grow ops everywhere. The whole, like, fruit thing. I mean, something I was watching is talking about, like in the future, like, city apartments are supposed to have all these greenery. So I kind of, that's what I thought it was like
But that's cool, but, like that's, like, impractical. Like, expensive.
It wouldn't retract.
Your house.
I like that.
To have this
thing. Great, retracts. Retract.
It falls out of the ceiling.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this is your fruit plate. There's got to be an easier way to do that. Well, that was the other thing too. That, you know, we were watching. It was like the fact that all the curbs in Hilldale had, like, you know, the neon strips. I'm like, it's cool because you can see it looks futuristic. Yeah, you can see where the curbs are, but that's, like, you know, financially impractical. That's why nobody's doing that for real. You know?
I like the self walking dog leash.
Yeah,
it's got just the sensor floating.
Yeah,
the dog's walking.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten there yet. We're not quite there.
Yeah. Well, we have the self-driving car.
That's true.
Yeah, we do have those. They're freaking people out, apparently. People just don't like the idea of the self-driving car.
A little freaky.
Yeah. So, I mean, the main thing that this section of the movie does is kick into... It resolves the end of the first movie, and it gives us the...
Well, you see how, like, he's got a shitty future.
Yeah, but he's got to fix eventually. But he gets the almanac, and the almanac is actually the main plot device of Back to the Future Part 2. Because it falls into the hands of Biff, and he takes it to 1955 and gives it to his younger self and changes the world. And this is where Travis has
and then a somehow, once again, with the movie. Somehow inexplicably fucking returns to a future he already changed to give the DeLorean all back. Right. It's like, that's the problem with this movie. This movie does
this is a good point.
This movie suffered. This whole movie suffers from we just had to make a movie. It doesn't matter. Don't think about it. We just had to do it. And it's like, okay, I get that. But at the same fucking time, it's like, God damn it. You know, once you start dissecting movies the way you do, you know, you watch movies, you watch movies, you watch movies, you're like, fuck, this just makes no sense.
Well, this is the biggest logical flaw of the movie, I think.
Well, yeah, because Doc Brown fucking refers to it.
Later on,
Right, so do we need documents for this? Yeah, we don't need documents. Everybody's
have
seen
documents,
this movie.
But,
right, so the timelines.
Well, the idea is, I believe, Travis, is that we as the viewers are on Marty and Doc's space-time continuum, which means that they are in the present, whether they go to the future, the past, whatever. They're in the present with us, right? And so when old Biff takes the DeLorean, gives the almanac to young Biff and then comes back. He disappears. It's kind of like when you...
Well, he disappears in a deleted scene.
In a deleted scene, right.
We don't see that. We see him. He looks like he hurts himself as he gets out.
And
why did he hurt himself?
He's not. He's hurting because he's supposed to be dissipating. The future is supposed to be disappearing.
Oh, yeah? Tell me about this deleted scene, gentlemen.
He falls against the car and he's like, he's supposed to just fall on the sidewalk and disappear. And that's how you're supposed to realize the future is starting
this?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. There's actual footage of it.
I think it just called attention to the idea that it made no sense. So they're like, let's not use that.
But
because he could not return to the same timeline that he left. Biff goes back in time, changes the future.
Marty and Doc might have never even fucking met in Biff world. When Biff rules the fucking world and becomes a millionaire, they might have never even met because Doc gets incarcerated or committed to an insane asylum at some point in time.
But since we're sharing the temporal dimension of Bart, Marty, and Doc, what I see happening is the DeLorean would leave their space-time and never come back, and they would be stuck forever in the 2015
That future disappears because Biff World takes the place of that future. That's what I'm saying.
But not
Doc and Marty disappear the same way Jennifer disappears in Biff World as soon as dude gives the almanac to whatever. They disappear. That future, it's gone. This movie's over.
But it can't be because, in their present, that hasn't happened yet.
Dude, as soon as he leaves in the DeLorean, their present is fucking non-existent.
Well, what are the chalkboard, the alternate timelines? They're on an alternate future at that point.
There is the present.
Yeah, but they would have never had that. Exactly. That's why they can't, because the only way they got to 2015 is by normal 85. Biff erased that normal 85 with Biff 85. Doc Marty never even fucking have to go back to the future to make fucking George a goddamn author.
But they haven't gotten to that point yet on Marty and Doc's space-time continuum present. Because, as we see in the films, they change all that back to normal. So
in their
space-time continuum. So that 2015 does still exist by the end.
But that's only, but by the end, yeah, but that's only playing fucking Bill and Ted rules, which I like Bill and Ted rules better, where Bill and Ted don't need to go somewhere that don't exist. They just say we put something here in the future and then it's there. That makes sense.
But then you have to really believe that you're going to do that in the future.
You have to remember to do it. But yeah, you can't. This is a big fucking plot hole, but whatever. You're not supposed to think about it. You're not supposed to.
And then the whole,
because even Marty says, why don't we just go back to 2015 before Biff steals he's like, that does not exist anymore. So how does it exist for them?
But that could be because they left it.
Yeah. No, damn it. Yeah. It's because Biff went back.
Wait, Brent has this all figured out.
That's why.
No.
It's because they left, and when they left and they went into Biff's...
No, he's right when it comes to a movie-making point of view, not a storytelling or a whatever, but he's right when a movie-making point of view. We're sticking with Doc and Marty's perspective. They had no way to... I mean, that's the problem. The first half of this movie, they just need to trip through shit because they have to get through it, which kind of sucks. I like it, but it kind of sucks because it's like, fuck, you know? It sucks because you can tell when a story needs to be pushed through and not told. Because then once you get past it, then you're in Back to the Future. Once you're in Biff World, you're in Back to the fucking Future too, man. Fucking Stryker. Fucking, that's his name, right?
The president? Strickland.
Strickland. I mean, that's the story Slacker. Of Back to the Future too. It's not, they just had to get through the 2015 shit because they said something about it in the old movie. It's really about... Once and, again,
yeah, but I think Biff the almanac, the yeah, but the almanac is the thing that they get, you know, in the future. Yeah. That's the
catalyst. That is the yeah,
and then you somehow have to get Biff back in time, you know, and then you have to so he can alter the past with the almanac. It's like, okay, we're good, and then he has to deliver somehow the DeLorean back to the now erased timeline.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that doesn't work based on their own logic. But all right, so all right. You know, most people don't catch that.
Yeah,
shit.
They made that logic themselves. I mean, I can be like, well, no, if you look at time, whatever, it could have made. But in the movie, Doc Brown says himself, we can't go back because that future does not exist. So there's no way. that fucking
that's because they
Biff.
Left it. Well,
there's no reason
they left.
Well, so did Biff. Biff fucking left
well,
2015
right.
too.
Right. Yeah.
Damn it, goddamn
no,
it.
No, I agree. No, that's,
I don't
that's
want why, this to be most of the show.
But that is why, I mean, that's why Biff, I know it's a deleted scene, but he does ultimately disappear. And it's kind of like.
But everything would have disappeared.
But if you pull a plug from the wall and like there's still that light. It goes out slowly.
I don't believe, no, it all goes out at the same time. If you kill electricity, it all goes at the same, not one, then
it's
the still, other, then the
it's
other.
It's traveling through
no,
the way. I have seen it, sir.
You've seen it.
I have seen it.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway.
But, okay, well, yeah.
Moving on.
We're dealing with time travel, that which doesn't exist, and it's, you know, you're going to have.
Who says time travel doesn't?
Some roadblocks.
Concepts exist, therefore time travel eventually will exist.
Well, that's anyway. Another thing.
Which
so,
means time travel does exist, because if it, time travel exists.
Here's just a theological question.
Who's going to bring God into this?
Holy or not shit. Theological. What am I looking for? Anyhow, I don't know what the word is, but. How is it that...
Theoretical, you're saying.
Theoretical, thank you.
I had to think, it's like, what sounds like theological? Yeah. Theoretical.
Cosmological?
how is it that Doc Brown, since in this within this world, time travel does exist, how is it that Doc Brown is the only person, as far as we know, on the face of the planet, that has ever successfully time traveled?
He hit his head.
That's
yeah.
the answer.
He slipped the on the capacitor. Fucking. Yeah, he invented the flux capacitor.
And then he destroys it at some point because he says, I'm going to destroy it. And we know, having seen the third movie, he destroys it so no one else ever.
So it just never, yeah.
And then
yeah.
somehow, I mean, obviously goes through the change from using plutonium to Mr. Fusion, which, I mean, that has to change what a flux capacitor is to a monumental extent.
Yeah.
I can only
yeah.
imagine.
Well, power,
I mean, it needed
it just
plutonium.
It.
Now it.
So now he doesn't need the 2.21 gigawatts of electricity.
Which is funny.
It generates
gigawatts.
It generates the 2.21
yeah, gigawatts.
Without
yeah.
having a lightning strike or plutonium.
That cracks me up. They didn't know how to
okay,
pronounce
so
gigawatts.
Okay, so here's another question as we're diving into the Back to the Future stuff.
Fucking
okay,
mythology
so
of Back to the Future,
at one
part
point
one.
In the movie, I want to say it's like right at the beginning where they. Bounce into 2015. They're going through the flying car thing and the skylines or whatever.
Oh
sky,
yeah, that's
sky highway. You see the clocks on the DeLorean.
Oh,
right? This one tells you where you're going. This one tells you where you are.
Been.
And this one tells
oh, yeah.
you where you've been. The one that tells you where you've been is set to 1955. Implying to me that that's Marty was the last one he used it, but Marty isn't the last one he used it. Doc's been fucking going everywhere because he's got money in a suitcase from like all these different time periods. Even though he says he hasn't been to the Old West, he has money from the Old West. So, okay, we could say maybe he like picked this up at an antique store or something.
Right.
But he's lived enough in the future for sure. Years, possibly.
Possibly, yeah.
Possibly, yeah. Because he said he's got that.
How everything works.
Well, because he also said he got that weird like age,
yeah,
the age process done.
Yeah,
when he peels his fucking skin off or whatever the hell he does.
So like, what? How long has Doc been gone?
Who knows, man? That's
I don't
awesome.
Know. I'm not sure, but also they do say
we could have made it Back to the Future too about it.
At some point, he says he has to fix that thing, referring to the time coordinates. You know, at the end, because they are acting up. So
yeah, but I mean, even that when it blinks to 1880, it's because at some point he punched that in there, meaning to go there, and never went.
Right,
but it keeps coming up, even though he's like trying to go to. But the bottom one at
yeah.
the very beginning, when it shows them, they're in October 2015. That's where they're going. That's where they are. And then the bottom one is November 22nd, 1955, or whatever.
So that's where they've been,
and that's the day of the clock of the lightning.
Yeah, but that's not. Where
because
he's been, he's been driving around for years, unless
his last stop was,
or they just grabbed a screenshot from one of the other fucking movies. Just,
I don't know. Anyway, that was one of those things again that you blink, you miss it. No,
yeah,
just
but,
like
yeah.
wait a second.
Yeah,
hasn't he been?
I'm telling you, Doc is a stalker of the fucking McFly family line. Like,
he
I
is.
Think he loves fucking.
He totally
he Marty's
loves
Marty. Mom.
No, he loves
he's
Marty.
Marty's fucking dad. That's why he's thinking about this adventure through time.
Well, Marty's his only friend, right?
Einstein. Einie.
Well,
Einie and Marty.
Dog.
Well, hey, yeah. come on, dude.
That's all he's got, really.
That's all he's got, man. Copernicus.
Yeah, that's why he's looking into Marty's like future.
We don't know.
Marty is the only friend that Doc has.
You know what, when it gets weird is...
But why would he actually say, hey, dude, it's me. Remember I had a time travel? Let's have a beer. That's why I don't fucking make sense about this movie. It's like, why wouldn't you go to your friend? You know I invented a fucking time machine. You saved my life from being murdered going back. You remember that, right? going back to 1955, like, it doesn't, it's like, why? No, let's, I can't talk to you at all in the future.
Well, because that's right, he's committed in the future, right?
No, no, that's he's committed in Biff World.
Yeah, that's in Biff World.
Biff World, he's committed.
Maybe he's dead in the future.
But it doesn't matter. He's got a fucking time machine, and Marty McFly will always know for the rest of his life he traveled through time.
Like, but then it's not an adventure if you just have to tell people stuff.
It will be an adventure. You just get more people. You get old McFly, old Marty involved. Then you get young Marty. I don't know. He could have done something else. That's what I'm saying.
You're saying they could make another Back to the Future, Back to the Future Part 4 right now with the guy.
Oh, yeah, well, for sure. Make lots of Back to the Future.
I'm surprised they aren't doing that. Well, they made the video game.
It would be in the big train, though.
Yeah, that, I'm saying that ruined everything. Yeah. No, like, I mean, the part three.
That's just another joke, you know? I mean, that's...
Because even the cartoon came out, no one wanted to see fucking Doc Brown with hanging out with his two kids and his old fucking woman and their
what?
Flying
there was a cartoon?
Train. Back to the Future cartoon.
And it was, seriously, them on the...
Yeah.
Train.
But they lived in, like, modern day. They lived in modern day. He just had his two kids from the Old West, but for some reason still fucking wore coon hats and shit. It was so fucking weird.
Did you see this?
Yeah.
Yeah? Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
It was, like, 92.
I don't have them, though. I need to get copies.
Oh, I'm sure you could just YouTube 10 minutes of it and be like,
Probably.
Sure, it's as good as the Little Shop of Horror cartoon. Yeah. Bill and Ted cartoon. I mean, they just made a cartoon out of any fucking movie back then. Yeah. Like, it was a movie. They sold tickets. Make a cartoon
it was a
out of it.
Toxic Avenger cartoon.
But the weird thing is, Travis, I think you did touch on something with the relationship between Doc and Marty, because in the third one, when Doc finds out that he gets killed in the Old West, they go to the library to look up and see what happened to him. And when they're supposed to be looking into Doc's past from the Wild West, Doc is finding pictures of Marty's family. And he's like, look at this, Marty.
He's obsessed.
I found a picture of, you know, your great, 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 whatever.
He's just curious. I mean, they're the two guys who travel through time.
He's trying to figure out his death.
He only cares
when he got killed and what happened. And he's still looking up Marty.
He was like going through the records and like, holy fuck, it's the Sheamuses and they look like the McFlys. Marty. Oh, come on.
Okay. I'll give you that. I will give you that, definitely.
I just think, you know, because like you said, he keeps on talking about all these great things he's going to do with this time machine. All he's doing is like, look.
Well, we don't know that. He could have been on to whatever. All right, so anyway.
You think some of those other exciting things would be a catalyst. No, he's just hanging out, sitting in cafes.
Yeah. Doc Brown needed to have his own. So what happened between Back to the Future 1 and 2, Doc Brown's adventure?
So once again, once we get to Biff fucking world, like, I love how it's this, like, awesome, like...
What?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because once again, that's that class of 1980. It's that class of 1999 kind of, like,
in the middle of the street
dystopian. It's that dystopian now, you know? fuck the future. Dystopian now.
Yeah.
And, you know, he sees how his fucking mom is like a...
Okay, well,
broken
here,
down shadow.
Before we get to that, you want to talk about plot holes? I'm with you here. And again, I love this movie. But when they... So Doc and Marty, they're flying when they go back to alternate 1985. When they come in, like landing down into Hill Valley, don't you think they would notice like this giant skyscraper in the middle of town and all these like oil... You know,
yeah, the
oil
big,
stacks, whatever, fire.
Oh, I thought that
stacks.
Was great. Yeah, when he goes to the graveyard,
that was cool.
To see where his dad's been buried, there's like the oil refinery in the background.
It was cool. Yeah, it's very cool. But, I mean, you would notice that coming in.
Unless they're just kind of like, I don't know, they're Plum Tuckered from time traveling.
Yeah, it was dark.
Yeah, it was
dark. It's all time travelings, and they just, we're back in 1985. And
you can see this building lit up like Vegas.
Right.
Be like, when I was, that's odd.
I always thought that was so scary when he like when Marty jumped back into his fucking bed and like that black girl stood up and started screaming.
Yeah.
I would have shit my pants. You know, like what the fuck? You want to talk about? I mean, the total opposite of what this dude's expecting to happen. Yeah. You know,
right?
Not only someone else's house.
You're damn right, you're in the wrong. Yeah.
And once again, because I mean, that is the ghetto now. Now, what is the shitty middle class that, you know, he thought he moved out from, you know, in the future, is now the ghetto in Biff World.
Well, I got the impression that like everywhere except for Biff Palace was the ghetto.
Oh yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess so.
Pretty rough.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's living high.
Yeah, I don't know why somehow it's connecting the 2015 and future to that.
It's obviously a racist.
Huh?
Racist town, because remember, like when the black guy comes outside, he's like, "You tell those people we ain't selling. You hear? We ain't selling."
Just the bankers.
He's still, yeah, they're still just trying to buy up and kick people out of there.
I think Biff's pretty racist.
Well, from 1955, yeah.
I think the alternate 1985 Biff isn't.
There's only right,
how do
racist
we? Where, what are you basing this? I'm curious. What's
they're the, kicking him out of the neighborhood.
I don't know if that's Biff though.
I think it is. He owns
Biff
the cops.
Owns everything. I don't know if it's racist. I just think it's a way to be like, what is the absolute opposite from what Marty's expecting?
Yeah.
Is to go into his house. Not only is it not his house, but it's a house of a black family. It's just like, that is the fucking opposite of what you
Biff
expect.
Biff rules the world.
Just that line. That's all I'm going to say.
I wish there could be a different song, though, when you enter Biff World. I don't really care for...
What, was it Journey or something?
No, it's...
Wasn't it Motley Crue or something?
It's I Can't Drive 55.
Oh, yeah, Sammy Hagar. Yeah. Hagar. Yeah, right, he should do a different, like,
in Evil Biff World, he has to find out how Biff became this, you know, because he bet on the almanac all through his
life. Well, he's almost, like, back in, like, the whole, like, trying to figure out where reality is, right? I mean, he's like, what's going on? Like, asking his mom, like, what? No one's going to give me a straight answer. Well, like,
it's the mirror of him being in 1955 in the first movie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But and this back provides an opportunity for like, you know, all of these actors to play like, you know, multiple. I mean, that's what's fun about this movie is Michael J. Fox plays him old, his kid, his daughter. Tom Wilson plays young Biff, old Biff, and
he's got like seven
evil Biff.
And Grandpa Biff, Griff, fucking Buford. I mean, dude, that guy. Yeah. Oscars.
And they are like a little subtly different, like every time.
Oh, they're brilliant. Even fucking, I mean, like Biff World Biff to Biff detailing at the beginning, you know, at the end of part one. I mean, he is a total, I mean, except for when he's like the, what the hell is going on here? When he starts to get an edge, he gets a little evil tint in there.
Actually, that's a good question.
But at the beginning of part, or the end of part one, he's just like, oh yeah, I'll get the second cut. Oh, right away. You know, now Biff, Biff, I told you.
Well, okay. Well, you guys know these movies probably back to front better than I do. But would you say that the evil Biff from part two is the same character as modern day Biff at the beginning of part one?
No, because he kills Biff and he kills.
No, no, not that. But I mean, like the performance. I mean, does it feel like that's the same? Like,
he seems rougher and more grizzled as
Because
the evil Biff in alternate 1985. To me,
to me, it feels like that's Biff World feels like he never got
as the Biff from the beginning of. Well, part one.
It's 85. Yeah, so that's Biff. Yeah. He's the same age. It's just, I think in Biff World, I don't think he was ever punched by George. Even though somehow I think they got married, obviously the McFlys had kids, somehow, blah, blah, blah. I just don't think, you know, he didn't have that, or at least him murdering George in 73, you know, gave him his, you know, money gave him his.
It's the same core, but I think that it's just more corrupt and more power and more. He's just more evil.
Yeah, I get that. Because
there's a dominating George McFly is a dominating character through his life in Biff's life. If in Biff World he kills George in 73, I mean in normal 85, that's an additional almost 10 years of. You work for me. I George McFly is a popular author or whatever the fuck he is, and Biff is a detailing car guy who's just middle class or lower than middle class or whatever the fuck. So there's the two Biffs. Like this one Biff took charge of a life in a weird way and fucking killed the dude. I mean that's why I love when you go back to 55 and you got that scene like you will marry me, Lorraine. I mean I fucking love that scene, dude. Yeah. This movie is Biff's movie, dude. I love this movie.
This is, it does have like the bigger Biff. I mean, Evil Biff is a really cool character. I mean, you know, I like younger Biff too, but he's an idiot.
He's an idiot, but he's still kind of evil in a weird way. I mean,
Well, he's tormenting the fucking kids down the street, taking their ball in 1955 and all that, you know?
Yeah. Gramps! I'm going to yelling at his grandma's shit.
Biff is always like bent in some way. There's something happened to that kid. I don't know, whatever. Some kids are just born bad.
Even though old, this is what I do, like, old Biff is the Biff from Modern 85. He's still that kind of shrunken down. That's why when Griff is like, Griff, did you get that second coat? Yeah. He's like, I did it. Just like, don't, you know.
Yeah.
He's still that broken down fucking Biff.
Yeah. Well, you actually brought up a point that was interesting. Like, when old Biff goes back to 1955 and sees, you know, himself, you know, he recognizes that the younger him is an idiot, you know?
Yeah, he's embarrassed. And
he's like, you're saying it wrong.
It's like he's trying to correct himself. Like, if you could go back to the past and fix something that about fucking yourself. One dumb, embarrassing thing.
But it's interesting that he does see, like, you know, the chase that ended up with the manure spilling into his car, that he sits there and he's like, oh, yeah, the manure. I remember that. Well, first of all, I believe that, you know, that would be a memory that you would probably never forget. Yeah. He's kind of repressed it a little bit, like, oh, yeah. But he looks back at it almost like with a fond remembrance where he's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's manure, not bad. You know? He's happy about it. Yeah. Weird way. Just remembering his young self makes him happy, you know? Yeah. It's like little things like that to me make this movie. Like, fuck the plot holes. Fuck the, you know. I mean, that's the problem with these type of movies. It's like they got the emotion. They know the emotion they're going for.
Yeah.
They just, you know, they're like, ah, fuck, we wrote ourselves into a hole. Fuck it.
You know? But see, I mean, I guess maybe that's, I don't know. I don't look at it so, you know, there are movies that I do have hold that kind of rigid, like, you must adhere to this kind of, because they build that kind of logic into them. But when it's like, it's all in the spirit of fun where you're like, and they're making their own rules. It's like, we're just trying to, you know, I mean, it creates like this forward momentum of, I guess it's adventure more than it is action.
But if this,
where it's just like something new to be discovered, like every, you know, moment of the movie, and you got Doc, like, just, you know, giving you the base. Well, not the base. It's convoluted. You know, like, you know, this is the explanation for why things are the way they are right now, you know?
Yeah, but I like just don't like it when these people get, I mean, cause I came up with a fucking good, you know, just the idea that if the movie's going to end good anyway, that's how that 2015 still exists. Because Marty, no matter what, the timeline continues and Marty and Doc will go and save the future.
Yeah.
Even though it's just, no, but that's fucking wrong because he fucking doesn't get in the accident. That 2015 never exists. Ever. Ever.
Right.
That version of the world never, ever exists except for in that one moment in time.
You're saying for Biff to, for Biff to come back to. Yeah.
McFry! We don't talk about that shit.
Travis is just poking holes in my childhood.
Dude, trust me. I love this movie, and I had to poke holes in it myself. I did, like, you know, that's what you do, right? You love something so much, you dissect, and you're like, God damn it, it just doesn't make sense.
But is this what we do? I'm saying we as, like, a collective. This seems to be, like, a modern thing. It's like, we find fault in all of these things. Basically, these are movies that bring you joy, right? When you watch them, when you saw them originally. But now we look at them with, like, this kind of hard analytical, you know, eye. And it's like, they don't hold up to that because I don't think they were ever intended
to. No, they weren't.
I mean, the fact that they make as much sense as they do, you know, is a credit to them. And I think the fact that this movie, the later half of it, or the third, whatever, where they recreate and
have the characters going
back into the first movie, which I don't even know.
Changes the world. Like, what movie goes back to the first movie?
Right.
In such a, like, you're almost, like, butting heads with the first movie. Like, oh my God, if you mess up the first movie, don't mess up the first movie. That's genius.
Yeah.
Fucking genius.
Yeah.
He's in your first movie.
Yeah.
That's just awesome.
I mean, it's just weird. I remember even seeing it, you know, the first time. It was just weird having a new, you know, like a new angle on action that happened, you know, in the first movie.
Even seeing, like, where Biff was during this point. Like, what was he doing before the dance? What was
one scene where I just, you know, again, I'm thinking about this as a filmmaker. So from the movie making perspective, there's the scene where Marty's trying to get, like, up the, you know, whatever the, what do you call it, catwalk over the stage. So he's watching himself perform. And Marvin Berry is, like, standing there kind of listening to the music. And I'm sitting there looking at him going, like, is that the same actor? Because his face is turned away from us as he was in the first movie. I'm like, is that the same guy? And then Marty goes off the screen. That guy turns around, comes into the room, picks up the phone, and right then you're like, oh, shit, that was the moment.
He's making the phone call.
They don't even have to show it. It's just, you know, that that's all of a sudden connected to, like, this is that moment that we saw in the first movie. You know, it's brilliant.
It is. some of those scenes or moments of those scenes, I'd like to like match the, or sync them up, you know, from the first one and the second one.
See how they surprised you time
out. That'd be, I know. That'd be I sick to. If they fucking timed out. That'd be sick. But I'm
at
sure
one
they,
point,
you know,
I wanted to see who logged more screen time driving the DeLorean. Is it Marty or Doc?
Oh, it's gotta be Marty. It's gotta be Marty, right?
Yeah.
It has to be. Because yeah. the whole move, first movie is, well, no, yeah, he barely even drives them.
It's, yeah.
The first movie, the DeLorean's out of fucking, and then doesn't have any fuel.
And the third one, it's out of commission, too.
Yeah, that, the DeLorean's always out of commission. This is the only movie it works in.
Well, it has to, you have to stop somewhere to.
That's because they knew they fucked themselves. They're like, no, the time machine gets them to a place and doesn't work. We can't keep fucking ourselves in the holes.
Right. And they did away with the whole, like, ice on the DeLorean, I think, after, or maybe like halfway through the first one.
When Biff comes back, it's got the.
Really?
Yeah, it's smoking.
Uh-huh. It smokes, but it wasn't as. I mean, the first movie is fucking icy.
Oh, right, yeah, that's right.
But maybe you see more, there's like more wires and more like tubing and crap all over the DeLorean.
I'm wondering if Mr. Fusion may have changed that.
Yeah,
made it more efficient. Perhaps.
So okay, so where are we at? We're at the dance. You know how you got to the under or the enchantment under the sea dance? That song drives me off the wall. I don't know what it is about that song. But
I love that scene too, because you know, well, it's weird just seeing, you know, like that Marty's in disguise guys would be like, you know, the bomber jacket and the fedora hat. He's wandering through the crowd, and not a single person seems to notice. Like, hey, you're Calvin Klein or whatever, or you know.
Well, that's unconspicuous. Yeah. That's a funny joke. Yeah. He dressed like a 1950s spy.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what you do.
Yeah.
That's a funny joke. I also like how this gives you like what Biff's three punks. I mean, the reason Biff's three punks aren't there to fucking also fuck around with George and Lorraine or whatever is because they're chasing Marty at the other side of the school or whatever. And then the band that's smoking their pot or whatever. Like, we don't want to. I don't love that scene. We don't want to mess with no reefer addicts.
Yeah,
fucking musicians.
Oh right, yeah. Does that happen in this one?
Not in this one.
At some point. No. At some point, I stepped out for a cigarette.
Is that in the first one?
Bathroom break, so I missed.
Was that in the first one?
That's in the first one.
Oh, fucking weird. I thought I went to the bathroom during this one, and I just missed that scene.
Yeah, no, it's in the first
one. I thought they throw them in the trunk.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Fuck me.
You know what I love about the second one is you get a little insight as to what Strickland's doing during the dance. Like, I love it when he goes back to his office. Just to, like, you know, sneak a drink, a snifter of whatever he's drinking. And then, you know, he's looking. We don't, at the time, we think it's the almanac.
We think it's the almanac.
But he's checking out the ooh la la.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la.
I just like those little moments, you know, it's developing these characters. It's more than what, like, it's everything that, like, would have been too much for the first film, but it's just right for the second film. Right.
I just don't know how many times I can say that fucking Biff deserves a goddamn Oscar for this movie.
He does.
Just the way, like, when dude comes up and is like, hey, what are you doing? Like, oh, nothing, just, you know, get some fresh air. You know, he just acts like a fucking punk, trying to act like, I mean, the guy's fucking brilliant,
now, whatever
man.
Happened to Tom Wilson?
He was in,
He does
The Heat. He was the police commissioner for Sandra Bullock and whatever.
He was in a series of Wing Commander games in the 1990s.
Was he?
Anyone? With Mark Hamill?
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
He was a stand-up comedy musician. Yeah.
If you really want to see him like in a good role,
he's
in the first season of Freaks and Geeks as the PE coach.
That's right.
So there's a good, like, that's when I saw him again. Like, oh, my God, yeah, Biff!
Biff's like,
so if you really want to see that guy, well, I mean, he doesn't, like, do anything great, I guess, in it, but still, you know, hey, if you want to see, like, I almost think that guy could be now, like, the Wonder Years dad, you know, that's sort of like, man, that guy's awesome.
Yeah.
So
he's not on the convention circuit, I guess. Strickland is. I saw Strickland.
Yeah, Strickland is.
That guy, well, that guy's in three Back to the Future movies.
And Masters of the Universe.
No, not Strickland. I was talking about fucking Biff. Oh, okay. You're talking about Strickland being on the autograph.
Yeah, what, he was in all three? And Masters of the
You're talking about Strickland being on the autograph circuit. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Tom Wilson actually has been, probably.
Probably, I'm sure.
Yep.
I don't know. I know he's an accomplished artist, musician, comedian.
Biff or
actor?
Strickland?
Biff.
Biff.
Yeah.
Biff.
It's pretty awesome. And it is pretty great. Awesome. Like, there's another moment at the dance when Back to the Future Part 2 Marty is sneaking around and he's out in the parking lot and he realizes that he stumbles up on, like, Back to the Future Part 1 Marty's car with Lorraine.
Oh, shit, he's about to hit him.
And, well, before that even, like, he has to duck down and, like, sneak past the car because it's the moment inside when Marty and Lorraine are, you know, like, basically she's drinking and she's smoking. And she says something like, she says, when I have kids, I'm going to let them do whatever they want, whenever they want.
Oh, right.
And then Back to the Future Part 1, Marty looks out the window and he's like, I'd like to get that in writing. And then as Back to the Future Part 2, Marty's sneaking underneath the window, he goes, yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. Like, that's that. Like, there's no other film that you can have that in.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And how they pulled that stuff off in 1989. I mean, I know, you know, because, I mean, Jurassic Park was 91.
But they had been working on it by 90.
I'm well, the Abyss was 89. Yeah. So, I mean, like, there was some, you know, I mean, this was the advent of some, you know, computer compositing or something, right?
Right. Yeah.
Where they do a scene, it's basically the old school split screen, but the camera was able to move.
Back to the Future 1? You know? I mean, because Back to the Future 1 had a lot of the, you know, disappearing hand.
Yeah, but all that stuff's blue screen or optical work. I mean, this was, like, you know, electronic composites. Because they were able to, like, in that scene where, like, Biff is talking, you know, he's sitting in the car with young Biff on one side and old Biff on the other side. I was watching it to see, like, you know, okay, at this point, you know, if the line in the middle of the screen, the window, is the, you know, the matte line between these two guys. Really? It's like, okay, so when this hand comes over, this is an extra, you know?
Yeah.
And then he flips, I think, the book, I think, is like a, not CG, but, you know, blue screen element added later so that the guy on the other side can get it. But, like,
well, when he gets through, it edits right to just a, like, close-up of young Biff as he hands
the
book.
The camera pushes in and pulls out of that, like, while that scene's going on.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that's where I was, like, to a close-up.
Holy fuck, how'd they do that?
It's moving, yeah.
I mean, you could do it now.
They also, like, at the dinner table in the future with the three Martys, when you have old Marty and his son and his daughter, they have, like, a motion-controlled camera set up.
Oh.
So that you can have all three of them interacting at the dinner table. But
and you mask them and the lines will all match.
Right, yeah. Crazy. So they can actually, like... And when they were shooting that, apparently, they're like, nothing could be moved on the set. Like, shit was glued down and nailed down. And there was an earthquake. Like, while shooting that scene.
Crazy.
But, like, nothing moved. I mean, they had it all nailed down.
And what was it? They were listening to playback or something in their ear of, like, the first take?
They would have had to have been, yeah.
Something. So they could hear, like, what the response was or whoever the dominant voice was.
But that would just have to be in a full shot, though, right? Like a wide shot?
Yeah,
because most of the shit is close. I mean,
most
of it is close. They've got a few.
What they do
shots.
Is they go from the pizza when she lays the pizza on the table, all three hands go in and take a slice, and the camera pulls back,
and then you're into
then they're all interacting with each other.
So the three hands were stunt hands, and then once they're cleared the shot, then you get back. And,
I guess, yeah.
And I don't know. Even though, like, I'm jumping back to 1955 in part two. I like how Marty was able to react. Even Marty missed the punch that his father gave Biff in part one. I like how he was able to see it this time and go, yes!
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was awesome.
He's happy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, that's kind of cool. That. He got to actually see his father punch Biff, you know?
Yeah. That's a nice moment.
Yeah.
I think he stole that guy's wallet.
Yeah,
he's got his wallet.
It definitely feels like they're having a lot of fun with this sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Like that guy, like that character is not needed, but he's there. He's got a couple funny jokes.
He says the one line four times, but it's just funny. It's just funny that there's this weird concerned guy.
It's like, it's humorous punctuation to the end of a scene. It somehow makes every scene end on a high note. They all go out like George Costanza when they're still on. Right?
Costanza.
Because just the way that the camera moves in and somebody says something like right into the camera. You know, it seems like they did that a lot.
Is it lighthearted?
I think Zemeckis is like, Zemeckis and Spielberg are like the two guys are maybe like the master of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They keep lightheartedness throughout, like, no matter, like.
They know how to end a scene.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's like, you know how to end a scene that it still feels like that scene's got life into it instead of just like, okay, it ended and we're waiting for somebody to leave and cut. It's like their stuff ends on a moment.
Right.
You know? Like, even if, with like, the guy leaves and the extra turns around, I think he took it as well. Like, cut. It's like you got that, you know.
It's a little piece of life.
Yeah.
It's I love a little piece of life.
In Forrest Gump, there's.
Forrest Gump.
When we first see Tom Hanks running, and Forrest runs onto the football field, and they're all watching him, you know, and then they throw the football, and then he's running, and they catch it. And he closes the scene by, like, everybody's stunned. And then, like, this tackle comes up.
Standing there.
Yeah, and he gets tackled right at the end. Like, that's just that punctuation.
Like, the receiver that was running for the ball.
Yeah, he just stops.
He stops when Forrest catches it, and then he gets tackled or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's and then you're out. Yeah, that's...
For sure.
That's perfect.
So, okay, so he...
Wait, I got another question. Just as, like, we're talking time travel movies with this type of feel. You just saw It's a Wonderful Life not too long ago.
Right.
I mean, like, there is that sense. It just kind of feels like this movie is kind of playing ball against, you know, It's a Wonderful Life, you know, like, because it's the same kind of square. We get to see, like, the dystopian, you know, instead of Potterville, it's Biffburg or whatever, you know.
Right.
The world without your family, the world without you or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, and It's a Wonderful Life, but, like, you know...
Well, even this is the world.
But I like how he says the version where the bat, you know, like, Potter takes control of the town, and it's all, like, you know, vice, and everybody's, you know, mean to each other and all nasty, and they were all nice, and, you know, the present that you left, and this kind of has that same...
Yeah.
It is like I was going to say the modern day It's a Wonderful Life, but it's like the 80s, you know...
Version
of that same it can rekindles the same type of spirit I think that older movie has.
Yeah. this one specifically. Yeah, I could see that. Was there a question in there?
No, I was asking if that was the same thing, if it was similar experience.
Yes.
I kind of went and answered it too. I asked the question. It was terrible. I apologize.
It's a Wonderful Life. I always kind of felt a little bit Christmas Carol-y to me, though, too.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, exactly. The whole, like, looking back in your life.
Yeah.
So I like how Doc does say how there's, like, there could be something about November 12th, or is it November 22nd, 1955? That could be
the moment that somehow
the time space
converges on.
I think it's November 12th.
Right? I don't know. November 12th. Well, November 12th is when they first showed up, but I think it's the 22nd that he's talking about because they keep. Well, no, yeah, maybe you're right. They have to keep going back to November 12th.
November 12th,
yeah.
Like that's the pivotal point in the universe.
Yeah, or at least one of them.
For at least McFly's, like, his whole family, like, lineage. For his family timeline, that's the day, fuck.
That's a cool idea.
It is a kind of cool idea.
Yeah. I imagine there's multiple pins all over the timelines, you know, but that's one of those moments where, you know.
The interesting thing is, like, originally they weren't supposed to meet like that. Like,
who?
Lorraine and George weren't supposed to meet on that date. They were supposed to meet a week earlier when George is, you know,
bird watching, peeping
on Lorraine, and her dad hits him with the car. But
one of those damn kids jumped in front of the car.
So the fact that
that's good,
Marty gets hit, and then George, you know, has to be worked into asking Lorraine out and going to this dance. This whole thing means that for that date to exist in the, you know, the pivotal date in the McFly's universe, time travel has to exist in order to get them to that point because Marty had to intervene.
Well, I don't know, because no matter what, that's the day George would have met her.
Because it was going to be a week earlier.
But it's the date of the thunderstorm. It's the date that lightning.
No, that's the 12th. The 12th is the day they show up. The 22nd is the day of the thunderstorm. The 12th is the day that George would have peeped at her and met her.
But it's only it's a
week. By the dad. Well, it's a week before. But no, it's not. But it's a week before the dance. But it's the day he shows up in the time traveling day. That's his time travel.
It'd be the
November 12th is.
So it's the 21st. Yeah.
Something like that.
We're idiots. Yeah. It's the 21st. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's just the.
It's still it's amazing.
Well, listener, we've bent your ear long enough. Probably about Back to the Future 2.
We didn't even finish Back to the Future 2. We got to talk about the fucking ending.
What do we have to talk about?
We just had to. Well, you. Don't talk about It's a Fucking Wonderful Life and say we can't talk about the end of the movie we're reviewing.
All right,
I want to talk about right. the best ending of any fucking movie I've ever seen in my
Holy
life.
Holy shit. Well, then we have to talk
Go
about
it. Go to it.
When, even though for some dumb reason, I can't land this thing that like has been landing fine vertically up and down the whole movie, but for some reason when it's a little windy, even though it was very rainy in 2015, it was very stormy in 2015,
it was.
But in 1955 stormy, you but can't land that pylons. Futuristic.
They had pylons in 2015 that somehow guided your spacecraft.
I'm still waiting for the best ending because so far you're dogging on this.
I just had to dog why he couldn't land. Okay. I'm just like, why All can't right. he fucking land? But just, I love the lightning bolt hitting the DeLorean, and he's just like, Doc, where's Doc? You know, you think, oh my God, we just got through this fucking adventure. Now this dude's gone. What the fuck just happened? And then a car shows up. Like, are you Marty McFly? I love that when you just think it's like, what the fuck? And then it gets answered right away.
Like instantaneous.
Oh, it's so
the
genius.
Car shows up. Yeah.
And then they get to do it twice with having the ending of the first movie. And, and Doc Brown's like, yeah. And then Marty comes running back out. He's like, I just set you back.
Yeah,
you got, but I'm back.
Yeah.
I just love that ending. I mean, that made me excited for part three. So when I got to part three, I'm like, what the fuck? Because you can't end a movie so awesomely gratifying. It was such a cliffhanger.
Travis has a problem with part
three. He does. He has a problem with part three.
It was such a great adventure. And then part two is like, the adventure's not over. And then part three is like, I'm going to fucking fall in love with this broad.
Because that's the storyline you have to do in the third part.
You know why the other two movies were successful? They were not about Doc.
The third one, I want to say, is part of the fucking Back to the Future trilogy.
Just because they make you buy it. They make you
buy. I like part three better than part two.
We already talked about this, that you need to watch part three.
Maybe.
And then reassess
the thing I liked about part three over part two, it's like part two, I like the fact that they go into the original movie, you know, and spend so much time in that. And I like it. But, you know, I like it more from a technical standpoint and for like, this is cool. They're going back there and doing this. But it is kind of something that you have seen already, you know, and part three is like a new adventure with these characters. And that's why I liked part. It's like there's part one and part three, and part two is like the, you know, we're having fun with it. I mean, part three, we're having fun.
But
you know
what
I mean?
Two,
we're having
whole,
fun with the concept.
But the
of
whole
time
point is still Marty
two.
McFly's family. That's the whole point of this whole series. Marty, part
no,
three's got nothing.
No, because the whole
part
point
one
of
two
it
is all
Marty
about
and
fucking,
Doc. I think
no, it's all about Marty.
But if you look at it that way, then part fucking, three does is relevant to the Back to the Future trilogy.
It's not just because he fucking finds a guy that looks like him, and he's like he wears a bull hat, and he's just like, oh, Marty, oh, sure. You know, you could come with us to the clock tower dance. It has nothing to do with his fucking family. I'm just saying that the whole point of one and two, George and fucking Lorraine need to fucking get together so their family line, and they need to get Biff out of there. That's the whole point of the back
the whole point
to the
of one.
And two.
Well, because they're redoing one.
It doesn't matter. That's the whole point. It's just
we're
like
redoing it
it's
again.
Just like how Michael Myers only kills his sister, and then, oh my God, we got to come up with something else for him to do. Oh!
Yeah.
That's what three is. Three's like, what else are they going to do? Oh,
that's what makes three fun.
It's not. No, whatever.
It is.
Whatever.
All right.
You know what's funny in part three is there was definitely incest in the McFly family because
this whole series is fucking. That's going to be my fucking.
Because Leah Thompson plays Marty's great 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 grandmother, whatever, and she also plays Lorraine Baines.
Yeah, it's weird. The McFlys and the whoever is always
this whole movie. Yeah. This whole movie has incest written all over it. In part one, there's the mom. So I mean, the whole premise of the fucking part one is, what if your mom fell in love with you instead of your dad? That's the whole fucking premise. And then part two is. Well, not just there's just the moment where he's like, your tits are huge. You know, he just had that
he
weird
doesn't
moment.
Say that, sir.
Dude, he in his eyes, he fucking said it. Mom, you're.
He would notice that, I think.
But it's the whole thing.
You're saying it was sexualized
it's
somehow.
It's sexualized.
Like,
it is.
Oh my God. Like, you're deformed.
It's a sexualized. He's looking at his mother.
Because she's deformed. It's just, you know.
It's not a deformed. Yeah. No, the way the movie plays out.
I'll give you, he says, you're so big.
He's looking at it in a sexual manner. It's not like
I don't
this.
Think it's an awkward,
it's a
like
freaked out moment. Yeah.
But it's a part of her body that you shouldn't be staring at.
I'm not saying, But that's what I'm fucking saying. They keep on putting him in situations of, like, you know, being, like, very, like, weirdly... It's very... I'm not saying it's absolutely 100% fucking incestual. I'm just saying there. It's a very, like, come on.
And in the third one, she says, that's Mrs., and don't you be forgetting the Mrs. part. It's there, but it's, I think, a big joke. And
right. It's a joke. It's a joke, but it's very weird. It's a very weird. I mean, I don't even know if I'd come up with that premise for a movie. What if your mom fell in love with you? I mean, for the first Back to the Future, that's pretty fucking weird. It's funny.
What a weird. Anyway. Like comedy gold. That's a comedy. Gold. Yeah, that's the way you think when it's a comedy thing. Okay. So, any further? Anything else? Back to the Future 2?
I'll get to it in my wrap-up.
In the wrap-ups. All right, so it's time for Igor. Igor, you're around, Igor.
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
All right, get the hell out of here, Igor. Thanks for the... And I don't know what this stuff is slobbered all over the envelopes, but Nick Hammond writes about Back to the Future Part 2. Cubs better win the damn World Series this year. And where is my flying car? Was it 2015? That was when the Cubs, or they won in like 2014 and he wished that he could go.
No, it was October, so it's the end of 2015, basically. Yeah.
In 2015.
Cubs, yeah, they had just won.
I'm just saying, I wish I could have went back and put some money on the Cubbies.
And I think we do have flying cars, don't we?
No, with wings.
We had hovercraft.
We have hovercrafts.
Yeah, we have hovercraft.
But nope. That's not really, that's just... air kind of like you're just being pushed a little bit off the ground. I don't think it's
like, I've seen videos like it's a car and then like the wings fold down and it flies off. It's like it's an airplane.
Oh yeah, and then you can't tell if it's actually
yeah.
And on our Moon 44 episode, Dom Cree writes, and because this was Moon 44 was Gary's last episode on the Freak Show, Dom says, no, now who will answer the random call or the call for random reviews? Anyone? Travis has left the building and Brent is scooting away from
it.
But Dom says he really enjoyed Gary's input to the Saturday Night Freak Show. And thanks for the laughs. Yeah, I'm sure he'll be back as a guest, I'm sure, in the future. But thank you, Dom. All right, so Back to the Future wrap ups, part two. Sorry. And I guess it starts with me. Holy shit, I'm in that seat. I think. It's one of those movies that's very hard to take without the context of the movie before and after. I think, like, Empire Strikes Back is another one of those. Probably The Two Towers. You know, any part of a thing that became a trilogy, you can't, like, really... It doesn't really stand on its own. You know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
Sure.
It's like the first one's always the strongest one because it's, like, a complete idea. And in this one, the idea is kind of split across two movies because we know we're going to finish off this story in the third one. I mean, I guess I've always thought the third one was stronger than this one because, as I stated... I
can't believe we're still talking about the third one.
Because I'm wrapping up my segment. This is my platform. So, yeah. But I like this movie a lot. I mean, there's a lot... It's funny. You know, it's full of moments of high adventure and boundless imagination. So, I mean, by no means is it a bad movie. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying of the three, I think I prefer it the least. But that's not saying, you know, I mean, I'd still prefer it more than most movies, I think. I don't know. What else can you say about Back to the Future Part 2? I would recommend it.
This is the fucking best of the three because it's like Biff becomes a really complete fucking character in this movie. It's like, yeah, he's in the first one. He's in the third one. Barely in the third. I mean, yeah. He's just like, to me in the third one, he's like a two-dimensional kind of like, I'm a mean guy, right? But I don't know, to me, I really felt like the craziness of fucking Biff in this movie. And, I mean, you got to have a cool bad guy to put your good guys against, you know? And, I do like this movie better than the first one just because it is all just adventure. And it's not so much of that just like, you're in a weird moment with your mom, or you're in a, you know, it's like, I don't know. To me, this is more about time travel than the first one was about, you know. This, you really do, let's go to the future, we're in the present, we're in an alternate present, we're in the past, we're in the, you know, you fucking time travel in this goddamn movie, you know. And I like that. Yeah, I got problems with the time traveling logic, but, you know, whatever, I, You know, I deal with it, and
first world problems, ladies.
It's yeah, it's one of those things. It's like it's as long as it's not three. I mean, it's one of those, like I hate three.
So you're cracked. You're cracked out of your mind.
I hate three so
that's
damn.
Okay, all the listeners.
I want the world to speak. Stand with me against
there
three.
There we go. If you hate Back to the Future Part
fucking
3.
Fucking hate it.
Or is Travis cracked out of his head?
There would have been a 4 if it was
Saturday
good.
Saturday Night Freak Show. Facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show.
So, I mean, I love this fucking movie. I'll bang on it because whatever, you know, you pick shit apart. Yeah, like whatever. But, you know, I'll put it in every like few years. Have a good thrill.
Is this the last time that you watch this movie?
This is definitely the first time I've seen it in probably like 10 years. I bet.
What?
Oh, yeah, I bet. Just because I fucking know these movies so backward, I mean. Yeah, I know these movies. Not three, but I know one and two pretty damn well. So it's just like, man, I've been watching these movies since I was damn like, what, 5? I mean, shit.
Yeah.
You know, forever. Yep. These are some of the first movies I ever watched. I mean, some of the first. You know? So, yeah, you know, I love these movies. Everybody should watch these. Even kids nowadays.
There's a lot of holy shits, though.
It's... So,
language warning.
Yeah.
Oh, kids shit. Can handle. Let me say one thing about that. What I gotta say about Marty McFly as a character, which I love. I love how, like, every kid can look up to this kid. It's like, this guy's a badass. He calls people assholes and says shit.
Right, which you won't get today.
No, you don't get that today, you know? You don't get... And I like how... I mean, that's what Spielberg and Donner and those guys did, right? They took kids.
It was the 80s.
They showed kids.
Monster Squad.
Yeah, because they showed kids in their own private life. Yeah. Like, kids cuss to themselves. They, you know, not worrying about, like, adult, you know, supervision and all that shit. So, yeah, I love this movie. So, sorry. And
all three of them, PG.
Mm-hmm.
Which is awesome. Yeah. I'm kind of in the same boat as Travis here.
What? About what? Clarify, please. You hate part 3?
This guy loves 3 so much that he's like, all he's talking about.
Allow me to finish. Please. I'm talking about, like, I saw this. This is the first film I can remember seeing at the movie theater. I probably covered this in Back to the Future 1, our first podcast. But, like, yeah, so I can remember seeing Back to the Future 1 when I was, like, 5 in the theater. And then when 2 came out, like, 4 years later to a kid, you know, now what am I, 9? So that's, like, a lifetime from, like, going from 5 to 9 as a kid waiting. Not, you know, I mean, waiting, not thinking about it 100% of the time, but knowing that there's, at some point, you know that there's this sequel being made. And I don't know, at the time I knew it was going to be 2 more films, but... At the end of the second one, theatrically, you got that trailer for the third one.
Yeah.
And that's like, fuck. that's amazing when you see that as a kid. Because you're like, I'm going to get this one, and then I'm going to get the third one in a year.
First time they did the back-to-back shit?
I don't know.
At least
they do it all the time.
At least advertise it right at the end of the movie. Yeah, because I remember that in theaters, too. I was like, holy fuck, that's awesome!
Yeah. It was a special memory. You know, and a lot of times we talk about nostalgia on this podcast, and there's some films that you can't go back to. There's some that you can. I don't think I've ever allowed a long enough time span to go back to these. I've just like, you know, I would
that's
say
that's how you do it. Huh? You just keep watching
you
it.
Just never, keep, put it into sleep gap. Too.
You never get older than the movie.
It's yeah. It's
you've got the novelizations on your shelf.
These guys know. Yeah, it's in my everyday life. And if you know me on Facebook, it's you know it's there because it's the only thing I fucking post. But and there's a reason for that. I mean, I think it's the greatest 3 films ever made. And it's, you know, it does capture your imagination. And the second one specifically, it's hard for me to talk about just one out of the trilogy.
Right.
Because, you know, like as I see it as like a full entire, you know, completed thought. But the second one especially is your most science fiction-y of the 3. It's the most, probably the most fun out of the 3. I mean, if you don't look too hard into the rules of time travel, because that's going to get you in trouble. And I do. I see the holes in the plot, but I love the interaction between Doc and Marty in this film. Because the first film, it's sweet. Like, it's, you know, they have their moments, which is nice. But it's more, the first one's more about Marty and George. And the second one is about these two guys kicking ass and traveling through time, you know? and we got to get everything back to normal. And man, we really fucked this up. Like right from the get go, I think Doc's talking about dismantling the DeLorean when they're leaving 2015. They're like, I gotta dismantle this thing. I gotta get rid of it because it's caused me nothing but problems. And from there, you know, like they're this whole film, they're just trying to fix what they screwed up. Which makes for a fun romp through time. and also I think this is probably I think Marty's physical acting and like facial expressions in this film are a lot of fun, but I think Christopher Lloyd has a lot on his plate in this film. Like it's a tough job to explain this film to an audience and keep them interested in an exciting way. And I think he pulls it off, and it's I don't know how he does it, because like I know now that it's all pure exposition. But even when I watch it, I'm like, man, yeah, you got to do that. You got to, you know, you got to go there and you got to do that, because I never feel like it's just
always talked in exposition, right?
I mean, that's all he does.
Never been a character.
That's
he's always just exposition.
Only in the third one,
and that's why everybody saw.
But I mean, that's because these movies don't work without that character that can explain the viewer through the film.
That's why, he's Doc. So, I mean, Marty's the character, and he's Doc.
Yeah, and I love that Marty's such a dumbass. He never gets it. And like in this second film, this is the one where you get to see Doc getting fed up with him. Like in the first one, he does with, you know, being late and stuff. And damn, where's that kid? But in this one, you have Doc on the walkie-talkie, and Marty's at the dance with his other self there somewhere, and Doc's like, you got to be very careful, man, don't run into your other self. And Marty's like, wait, my other self? And Doc's like, yeah, there are now two of you at the dance, one of you is up on stage right now. Yeah, like he's fucking, you know, he's upset with him that he's such a dumbass. And I think that's I like that that banter between the two. I don't know where I'm going with this, but...
Well, it was funny that, like, when we were talking about how the first Back to the Future, Doc was kind of clueless to, you know, because Marty's the kid from the future that has what, you know. But in this, Doc, you know, speak down to this dude, like, nah, dude.
Yeah.
You know, like, fuck, you know, he's not clueless like he was in the first one. It was fun.
Yeah.
And he never gets, like, upset with Marty, which is the thing I, you know, was picking up on this, like, he's like, oh my God, it's all my fault. It's like, well, that's in the past or the future, you know. There was like at least two times, I think on the roof too. It's like, I lost him, you know. It's like, well, you know.
Which way did he go? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, which way? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he just wants
what do we do about it?
He's trying to solve the problem.
Yeah, yeah, he doesn't get emotional.
He's never like, for fuck's sake, Marty, I asked you to do one thing. Yeah. One thing.
Yeah, the only time is what, at the dance when he's like, are you serious? You don't know that there's this other you here? You know, and but he's not upset. He's just frustrated with him. So that thing's freaking me out. Long story short, I think that I would recommend this to everybody, anybody.
I also want to recommend The Adventures of Rick and Morty. If you like Back to the Future, you got to watch the cartoon, The Adventures of Rick and Morty, because it is a parody of this.
Big time.
But it's not exactly the same. Like, oh, but it's just great. It's just great. A kid and a scientist going through weird dimensions. And
yeah.
Oh, it's great.
What's their time machine?
It's like a spaceship thing, kind of.
Yeah, because it's more about dimension hopping, not really.
Oh yeah, and he's got like a portal.
Yeah, it's almost like a little portal switch, almost like a sonic screwdriver in a weird way. I think so.
There's a shelf in the garage, and there's a box that says "Time Machine Parts" on it.
Yeah,
which is awesome. Yeah.
It's just the idea that a young kid and a white-haired scientist guy, but it almost feels like the scientist guy is using this young kid as like his guinea pig for his test. I mean, that's kind of the parody of it, but it's a great show. That towards the end of the season, it has a little bit of heart to it. There's a little Rick and Morty heart to it that is kind of like this Doc and Marty like relationship. It's a cool show.
And it's Dan Harmon, which is, if you're a Community fan out there, it's very much that style of comedy. You know?
It's very hilarious.
It's very, very hilarious. And that's my wrap up. But I do want to say that this trilogy podcast will be, it's to be concluded with Back to the Future Part 3 at some point.
At some point. So stick with us, listeners.
October 21st. Yeah, let's continue October 23rd or October 22nd.
October 22nd.
2015, man. We'll go this day, man. Until
2016 or whatever. Do one a year. Well, it was 2012.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So if you want to comment on any of this show, our upcoming shows, ask us a question. We'll read it on air. It's facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. Next week, I'm going to be picking the movie, and because these guys want to see it, I'm going to do Hell Comes to Frogtown. Rowdy Piper taking on mutant frogs in the future. Nice. So stay tuned for that. Oh, yeah. Until then, listener, the basement is closed.